This is Jack Loeffler. The Rio Grande is one of three river systems to pass through the Intermountain West and empty into the sea. This is the fifth longest river on the North American continent. Over the course of nearly 2,000 miles, the Rio Grande descends from its headwaters at an elevation of about 12,000 feet above sea level to the Gulf of Mexico. El Rio Grande del Norte is the lifeline of a mosaic of arid habitats, which nonetheless sustain many diverse biotic communities whose many voices greatly enrichen the chorus of life. The human species has been present within the Rio Grande watershed for thousands of years. Long before the Europeans first arrived on this lush continent, Puebloan Indians had established communities along the Rio Grande and its tributaries. Their forebears are thought to have gradually crossed the Bering landmass during the Pleistocene period, at a time when sea level was over 400 feet lower than it is today. These peoples developed hunting and gathering skills, which enabled them to survive in an environment bounded by distant horizons. Over time, they evolved communities of practice, which allowed them to live in permanent pueblos, the Tanoan-speaking peoples to the north, the Carrizan-speaking Indians to the south and west. Here, in the Carrizan villages of Acama and Laguna, the residents practice cultural skills and ceremonies which continue to celebrate their reciprocity with the spirit of place.
In the surround of snow-touched mountains, a circle begins. In a meadow by a snow-melt creek, where hands weave a house of thin willow saplings. It is a way of song, a way of breathing, a pure womb to center oneself through sweat, a way of blessing, being blessed, a circle of humility, prayer, and asking. There are no clocks to measure time, but the beating of our singing hearts.
My aunt had a barn right next to our place, and there was an old stove there. We used to go stealing eggs from a lady. We'd say, the rest of you watch, see if that old lady's coming. And the rest of us, you know, about three or two of us, would go in the chicken house and steal the eggs. And we'd all go back to this barn, and we'd put sand in a skillet and put a little water and bust the eggs in there and stir it up. So we sat at the table and we sit down to eat, but we couldn't eat the eggs with the sand because we knew that wouldn't taste good. But we just sit there, eat our tortilla and drink water, and we just look at the eggs with sand mixed in. Well, we used to live in Laguna. We were mainly from Old Laguna. My dad is from there, and my mother didn't like living in Old Laguna. She wanted to move up to Encinal. I don't know if you've ever been to that place. And there's a church. There's a church, and we live right on the west side. And there's a long building there. Well, that house my grandmother gave to my mother. And we used to live in there. You know, that was our kitchen, our whole thing. We stayed in there all day long, you know. And then my dad built a big house, just a one big room, a big house. It's a little further away over from the little house. And we kept our beds and everything. That was our bedroom, you know. And that was where we lived. But gradually, later years, my dad added two rooms onto that big building. And then after my mom and dad passed away, well, then my other oldest brother had a dining room and a living room. So it's still up there. It looks new now because my brother put a galvanized roofing on there, and it's made out of rocks, just rocks. And you won't believe that big room. It stays cool in the summer. That is the coolest place. And it was so high. When my brother was going to put on the top, he put mud about that thick. And that's what really keeps that place cool. And in the winter, it's just warm. It's just really nice and warm. We went to trash piles with friends, you know. There was maybe about 3, 4, 5 girls, you know, about 10, 11 years old. What our favorite was mostly was sardine cans and potted meat cans, and we'd tie them together and would make a train with it, you know, and pull them along the road. And we'd do things like that, and we'd go way, way off, you know, from the village, and we'd pick cedar berries, and we'd build a fire, and we'd fry those cedar berries. They were good to eat because they were sweet, you know. We didn't have any toys that came from the store. We really enjoyed playing with things like that, you know. Did you ever see those bowls and plates that were carved like flowers and stuff like that? We used to trim them around the edges, and you know, those were our decorations, you know. We did a lot of things, you know, where we didn't have to buy any toys or anything. We used to go piñon picking, you know, when there's a lot of piñons. We used to put our grub and our bedrolls and stuff on top of a burro, you know. And my mom, my dad, and my sister, we used to go up. You know, there's a trail up that canyon. We used to go up, and we'd stay maybe 3, 4 days. And you hear all the birds, you know, so nice in the morning, you know, and in the evenings. And my dad used to just get out there and make some kind of noise, you know, and it seemed like the birds just answer back, you know. And when my sister and I used to go off to pick pinions, and when we hear birds like that, we used to tell each other to say something to the bird, or say something, you know. And we used to, in Indian, it means, come here, means Hawaiima. And we used to say, Hawaiima chichi. We used to say, it means, chichi means bird. Hawaiima chichi. You know, we used to say those things, and there used to be some wolves sometimes making noise. And we used to get scared. We used to run away, you know, but when we go so far, well, they used to have some kind of a game. Tsushki, that means a fox, you know. It's a kind of a song, like, you know, and it's played in a game. And so we used to always say that, Tsushki, Hawaiima, we used to say, fox, come here, we used to say that. My grandmother used to sing it. The wolf or the fox, whatever it was, would sit there And there'll be, well, about 6-7 children or more or less, you know. We'd hold each other's around here, and we'd all go around in a circle, and we'd say, Tushki, Tushki, Ice Cha, see, Ice Quick, Yet Quia. Are you sitting there? What are you doing? You know, that's the question you ask. And then pretty soon you just start saying things to that wolf or fox, whatever it's sitting there. You start saying things, oh, you're funny looking. You got long ears. You got a big nose. Or you got long legs or something, you know. And pretty soon it would get mad. And it would just chase us and until it catches us, you know, we'd all start running away. That was the game. Tsushki, tsushki, kashina we, 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 tsushki, aishcha, tsushki, ha, mame, tsitshanashkik, mame, kwekje, mame, tsitshkdishutki. And then that's when, if it gets mad, then you'll start chasing us. That's the time.
I have my belief in the sun because that's the way my grandfather and my grandmother, they taught us. Well, we have respect for the earth because we see the earth, that's where everything grows, and we feed and we eat out of there. And we have very much respect for the earth. And the sun gives us light and everything every day. And the rain, we see it when it comes down. That's everything that we see with that we believe in our Indian way. They have respect for animals and the birds. Yeah, different, you know, especially the mountain lion, the bear, and the badgers, and deer and all that. You know, they have respect for them. You know, in fact, they used to say that when they came into this world, they came out with the different kind of animal like deer and antelope because that's where they were supposed to, you know, get their things to eat, you know. Even now they have respect, you know, for deer and antelopes and then, you know, mountain goats. They just, when they go out to hunt, they just don't put it in the car, or they have to have some kind of a, you know, prayer over them before they can bring it. You know what I mean?
Well, they used to have rabbit hunting. Every summer, the men and the ladies all go rabbit hunting. The ladies and their children and the men, they used to go in wagons. And when a person kills a rabbit, they don't let them to run for to get a rabbit, you know, from the man that killed the rabbit. They have to either get off of the wagon, or if they're riding a horse, they won't let them chase it on horseback. They have to get off the horse and run for it. See, whoever gets there first, and the person gets the rabbit. And after 4 days, they cook something, and they go feed the man that they got the rabbit from. As soon as we start off, we can't drink water. They won't let us drink water until we get to a place where it's time to have lunch, then they'll let you drink water. You have to just stay thirsty. Well, we had cattle. We have cattle right now, yeah. My dad had cattle. So that's why he used to butcher maybe about 2 or 3 in the fall, so that will last us all through winter. And my mom, she used to get a couple ladies to jerk them for us, you know, and they would hand them up, dry them, and put them away. And then in the spring, before springtime, then he butchers about 2 or 3 again to less us. After you butcher the cow, you at least let them hang for maybe a day, as long as it's a cold room, you know. That time, nobody had no refrigerators. And I know my mom used to hand them over in the other small house, you know, until they kind of cool off, you know. And then she used to jerk them. You know, you just cut them in little pieces like that from the heap, you know, and stuff. And then it's easy to jerk it. You know, you just get a knife and just cut it. Not too thin, because if it's real thin, they're easy to break. Uh-huh. And then the bones, well, whatever meat is left on there, my dad used to chop them up for my mother and hand them outside on the line, and they dry. When they dry, put them away, store them away, you know, and then you cook it to make soup. You know, dry bones really taste good. If you put hominy in there or beans, you know, cook, or either dry roast corn, if you put it in, it's good. And put chili, oh, it's good. And even this dry meat, when you pound it, it's really good to make chili stew or any kind of stew. It really tastes different from this fresh meat that you make stew. Of course, it's good, but gosh, this dry meat really tastes good. And you can just eat it. You can just eat it. And they jerk the deer meat too. Uh-huh. Yeah. Long time ago, when the men used to go out hunting, they never used to bring the deer home like they do. They just jerk it right out there. And they bring it all dry already. Our parents wouldn't have to do the jerking.
Even now, all the Indians, they have respect for the earth. The Indians have two religions here. Some are Catholic, that which is good, which is all right. And then we have our own religion. But the Indians, they believe in what they see. Now, they believe in the sun. They see it with their own eyes, and they believe because they give us light. They warm the earth, which make the things grow, and you know, that's where they have their belief. They see it, and then they believe in the clouds. They see the clouds because it makes it rain, it makes things grow, and they see the rainbow. That's where they believe too, and they see the ground. They have the belief in the ground because that's where everything's growing. See, they believe on everything what they see with their eyes. And Catholic religion is good, but we don't know we talk about Jesus, but we don't know who he is. We see the picture, I don't know if that's the way he looks. But as Indians, we believe in what we see.
That water was coming from the canyon, you know, on the top bar of the Mesa in Encinal. That's where we get all our good water from. It's really good. It's real soft water. Even all these people that live around in these other villages, they go out to Encinal and haul that water from there for their drinking. We use all that for our irrigation, corn and wheat and other stuff that our parents plant, you know. They use all that for irrigation. We had plenty of water at those years, but now there isn't that much water. There isn't that much water. It was really nice, you know, those days. And even us as children, we used to go out on the hills and chop wood. I know my sister and I, we used to go out and chop wood when my dad wasn't there, when he couldn't do it, you know. We'd go out and chop wood. Then we'd come home the next day. We'd harness the horses, hitch them to the wagon, and go get the wood and bring it home. Or we had alfalfa patch down in Laguna, my dad had. And when he was at the ranch, he didn't have time to go get it, or my brother. We'd hitch up the horses and come down to Laguna, and my dad used to get men to bale them for him, and they put the bales in the wagon for us. We'd take it home. Seemed like everybody those years worked in the field and in small gardens and everything, and when there was no water to irrigate with, we used to have to haul our water by buckets from a little river. It's about from here to the road. my sister and I used to haul water, and my dad and my mother used to leave a big tub for us under the fence. We'd pour that water in there. My mom and my dad used to get the water from the tub and water the onions, the chili, or whatever. Carrots, beets, lettuce, cabbage, corn, and onions, watermelon, melon, pumpkins. They used to grow beans, you know, and pick the fresh beans, you know, and cook it. And when they are dry, you pick it and shell them. And my dad used to plant a lot of wheat. People used to plant a lot of wheat, and they'd help one another to cut the wheat, you know. And then when one is through threshing the wheat, well, then when the next person is going to start cutting theirs, they all help. They try to all help one another, you know. Because at those years, nobody didn't say, well, I got to be paid. You got to pay me. No, everybody did things freely for one another. But these days, everybody's got to be paid. They want money. It was nice, those years. We really enjoyed a lot of things, you know. Uh-huh. We really enjoyed a lot of things during my years, you know. We used to go on the top of the barns. And, you know, those corn husks that are purple, we used to pick those. Yeah, when you chew them, they're real sweet and juicy. We rather made our own candy, too. We rather made our own candy. We did that those years. It was good. We used to shell the pinons and mix it with the candy that we made.
So I say that I have roots at Chaco Canyon and Mesa Verde, because up to this time, we're still able to do similar type of pottery that's been made back then. So I believe that my ancestors did come from these two areas. I guess I was meant to be a potter the day when I was born, because my mother has been a potter all her life. And I've been surrounded with potters all this many years, and it just came natural for me to take up pottery making, and I've been at it all this time. We gather the clay at Acoma, and it's a sacred place, and no one else is allowed to go get it except us Acomas, and there's a clay pit there, and there's enough clay to last till the next generations to use. And we've used the same clay that our grandmothers have used long ago, and it's still there. And we have to go hike over there in order to get the clay, because it's a very difficult place to get it. And it's a family task, you know, where everybody goes and helps to gather the clay. And the clay comes in shale-like, comes in slabs. And as soon as the clay hits the air, the clay starts coming apart. So we have to put that out in the sun to dry when we get it home. Well, when we go out and collect old pot shards, we come across old designs on the pot shard, so we know that they're from the Anasazi area, so we get our inspiration from those old pot shards. So we kind of study them, and then we try to figure out how this design was on the pot. So we just go from there, and then we put that back on our newer Acoma pots. When I go back out to the Mesa, I feel at ease, because it's like a retreat to me when I go back to the Pueblo. Or when I'm out in the valley or up in the mountains, I feel relief from the outside pressure, because there's just so much to see out there, the beauty of the the earth and your surroundings, and it's just there. And then it has to be up to you if you want to appreciate what's out there. When I put my design on my bowl, it gives me a relaxation, and it gives me a good feeling that I'm able to do design on a pottery. And it gives me a good inspiration, because all these designs that are on the pottery all pertain back to Mother Nature. When you turn your pottery bowl like this, you're able to put water in it, you're able to put your cornmeal in there, you're able to put food in it, and you're able to drink from the pottery. It gives me a good feeling when I start putting my design on. I don't usually just play with it, because this is my lifetime. It's going to take me up till the day that I'm ready to leave the earth. And I'm going to leave the earth by taking a piece of pottery with me, like my ancestors have done long ago. So I'll be able to carry my water in one of my potteries when I go. La 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 Hey, I know we are not here. 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 Hey, I know we are not here.
Featured on this episode of The Spirit of Place have been Harold Littlebird, performing selections from his album A Circle Begins, Daisy Velasquez recalling memories of her childhood near Laguna, Manuel Correa singing a corn dance song, Jose Aveta offering his point of view, and Dolores Lewis expressing her thoughts about life as a potter at Acoma. This 13-part radio series was produced for the Western States Arts Federation in association with KUNM-FM Albuquerque by Jack Leffler and Elaine Thatcher. Funding for this series was provided by the Ruth Mott Fund, the New Mexico Endowment for the Humanities, the National Endowment for the Arts, and the Utney Reader Magazine, offering thought-provoking points of view on culture and society from over 2,000 media sources. Please visit Utney Reader on the World Wide Web at utney.com. That's www.utne.com. This is Jack Leffler inviting you to remain attuned to the spirit of place. Thank you for listening. La 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 la